I want to encourage you by using as an example a particular tribe that's one of the 12 that came from Jacob, one of the 12 tribes of Israel, by the name of Gad. Just give you a quick history about this tribe, because it's brought forth in this portion of Scripture in Mark, and I'm still turning there, Mark chapter 4. We'll start with there and go from there in a minute. This tribe was singled out by God as a tribe that would be overcome, but later would overcome. It would be overcome for a while, but later it would triumph and overcome. And maybe you could put this down. Genesis 49 and 19. Just put that up for a minute. This was a prophecy spoken by the dad over the kids. And I want to let you know, dads, that you have a prophetic insight over your children, as well as you moms, because there's neither male nor female in Christ. Parents, you don't have to go running around to every prophet to find out what God's saying for your kids. He's going to download to you what your kids are all about. And you need to seek him for that and then pray through for the blessing that God has for each and every one. And Jacob prayed over each and every one of his sons, and over Gad he said, Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. So he's going to be overcome by a troop. Something's going to happen to Gad where he's going to be overwhelmed and overcome. But in the end, he's going to triumph. So this is a story about that tribe. Now, when God released the children of Israel from Egypt, they went on their way to the promised land, which was over Jordan. They had to cross over Jordan to get to the promised land. But as they got to the banks of the Jordan, Gad and Reuben and the half-tribe of Manasseh said, man, this land is really neat. We want it. We don't want to get the land that's over the Jordan. We want to get the land that's before the Jordan. This made Moses really mad. But he gave in to that desire, and he told them, you've got to go in and you've got to fight with your brothers and sisters lest they be discouraged. And when victory is won in the land, then you can go back and take your land. Now, the thing about it all is that God gave his promise for those who crossed over to the Jordan, not those who were on the other side. And this speaks to you and I of a half-hearted commitment, of not going the whole distance. God gives us a promise that if we delight in him, he'll delight in us. You know, if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. If we seek the kingdom of God first, everything will be added to us. I mean, it's not either or. It's all or nothing at all. But Gad sought to rewrite church history and just say, no, we're just going to stay on the outside. We're just going to be on the perimeter. You know, it'll be all right. And they ended up being a buffer state for Israel when they came under attack. You know, before the Assyrians attacked Israel, they had to get through Reuben and Gad and Manasseh. So over the years, they became compromised. In fact, they were the first one to go out. When the Assyrians came from the north and took out the northern kingdom, they also took out Gad and Reuben and Manasseh. They were the first to go, as a matter of fact. And so they ended up going into spiritual decline. How many of you realize if you're sitting on the fence, you fall one way or the other? And they fell into spiritual decline. There's a proverb that I always love. It says, if a tree falls, it either falls to the left or to the right. And it's speaking about the fact that either you're going to fall on Jesus and fall to the right, or just backslide and go to the left. Anyhow, over the years, they ceased from raising cattle to raising pigs. Imagine that. A Jew raising pigs. Wow. Do you know that the pig is an unclean animal? And it's abhorred by the Jews even today. The only time they ate pork, I believe, was in the foxholes when there wasn't any other cave rations available. But they abhor that stuff. And so here we have a whole mindset of a people who have just lost their way because of compromise. You know, they weren't right in the thick of things. They were just kind of on the outside of things. And I have a whole bunch of scriptures to support that. But let's just go on. And I just want to take you into a day in the life of ministry of Jesus and the disciples and just kind of put you in where they were at so you can feel their pain. In Mark chapter 4 and 1, we see that Jesus began to teach, and the crowds were so thick that he had to get in the boat and push out a little bit and teach from that. And he did that all day. And then at night, they got into another boat, and they went out into the Sea of Galilee. And in the middle of the night, a storm rose up, and they just about lost their lives. Jesus was in the back of the boat, sound asleep, and they were carrying on. Probably till the early part of the night, when finally all else looked like it was going to completely go out, you know, and the boat was going to capsize, they finally went to Jesus and said, "Would you do something about this? Don't you care? We're going to perish." And Jesus awoke to this amazing unknown information, and he said he rebuked the wind and he calmed the sea. And so we see this amazing situation where once there's a storm and now immediately there's no storm. And these guys are absolutely amazed. And then Jesus rebukes them for their lack of faith and probably not getting any sleep at all. They come over to the shores of Gadara. And this is where our story picks up in Mark chapter 5. I just saved you a whole bunch of reading. This gets to be interesting. Can you imagine being up all night, fearing for your life, being in church all day, being told incredible stuff, and here you are facing a demoniac. This guy is amazing. I'm trying to look where it is. Here it is. Just on the turn of the page. Starting with... And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Whoa. And cried with a loud voice and said, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that you torment me not." And he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he should not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And there were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And they that fled the swine fled and told it to the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they saw it, them, how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of the coast. When he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might go with them. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, "Go home, tell thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." Praise God. Well-known story, well-known account. Isn't it interesting? When the devil attacks us, it's usually when we're at a physical low. It's at a time when we're emotionally, physically, even spiritually depleted. And then he comes in with full force. Now let's just go back to the storm. Where do you think that came from? First of all, we know that the devil's the prince and the power of the air, and that this was a demonic occurrence in a natural environment. The devil was behind that storm. He whipped up the wind, he whipped up the waves, and of course he was trying to destroy them. There was chaos in the water. Where do you think this storm came from? I submit to you that it came because of the stronghold in this one demon-possessed man. That he represented the stronghold over that whole region, and he had control over that region, and he was sending out demonically an attempt to prevent Jesus and his troop from coming and blasting the area open for the gospel. And the reason I say this is because when when the man came and fell before Jesus, he worshiped the Lord. But then the spirits began to speak through him and begin to take control of him, or attempt to, and say, you know, why are you tormenting us before the time? And they went to great lengths to remain in the region because they controlled the region. They literally were the stronghold holding that region in bondage through this one man, a legion of demons. Do you know how many a legion is? 6,000, not troops, but horsemen. We're talking of strong men, strong demonic forces. Can you imagine what it must have taken for somebody to open himself up to 6,000 demonic influences? Can you imagine what must have been going on inside of his mind? I mean, we talk about split personalities, but this guy, he was just completely fragmented. And yet, in the midst of that, he falls down before the face of Jesus and worships him. You see, no matter what people might say, you can't be devil-possessed. You can be oppressed, you can be influenced by, but you can't be possessed. If anybody had a right to be possessed, it would have been this guy. But he still did the right thing. And you know what? This speaks of the power of worship. The power of worship. Just one person falling down before Jesus broke literally the stronghold of 6,000 demonic influences over this one man. And literally set the course for an entire region to be opened up to the gospel. Because unless the strong man is bound, you can't go in and take the goods in the house. All right, and so that's what Jesus was doing. This is a masterful, masterful plan. And you know, everybody was exhausted. Of course, Jesus had a good night's rest. So he was up for it. But the disciples, they were getting to see how, you know, ministry can wear you out. The enemy is designed to wear out the saints. Take away your hope. Take away your desire. Take away your victory. Take away your authority. Take away your more than conqueror status. And to defeat you and wear you out. When they saw this demoniac, they were scared spitless. They were afraid in the boat. Now they get out and they're just at their total emotional low. And they're engaging the enemy, 6,000 demons strong. Put yourself in their place. I can see them all cowering behind Jesus, you know. It's a good place to be. In any case, you know, the demons were sent out of the man. And this was a masterstroke of Jesus because he knew that the demons would tear him and rip him to shreds on the way out. So he distracted them by letting them into animals. They prefer to be in humans, but if they can't be into humans, they go into animals. Spirits are disembodied things that walk. They don't fly. Demons don't fly. Angels do. They're fallen angels. And they represent principalities and strongholds. But this man was demonically possessed by 6,000 demons who had to find a host in something that was earthbound. And so they ran into the pigs and then to the water where they were removed from the area. Now, demons don't die. You know what I mean? It's not like they drowned. You know what I mean? So they went somewhere else, but they weren't in the region anymore. And the reason I know this is because Jesus entrusted a brand new believer to the region. And he had confidence that this man would make it. And you know why? Because the guy was a worshiper. We're talking about strengthening ourselves in the Lord. We talked about the power of praise. But I want to talk to you about the power of worship to destroy the powers of hell. This is one of the most amazing examples to me of the power of just persistent worship. And one of the reasons I want to bring persistent worship to this region on a 24-hour basis is because I believe it has the power to drive the forces of hell out of the area. Don't you think that would be a nice change? Well, so Jesus takes this new believer and he says, you stick around and you just show the people the power of the testimony. Come on. The power of just telling what happened to you. And I'm just gonna leave you to them and see what happens. Now, I want you to know something. Jesus always comes back. Check on us. We sometimes think we're alone, but we're not. He's with us all the time, of course, now. But here he was limited to a physical body. But what's not often known is that Jesus returned. He returned back to the area. And just a couple chapters later, if we go to the 7th chapter of Mark, he returns back to the city or the region of Decapolis. It was sometime later, maybe a couple weeks, couple months. But, you know, he's not going to leave this guy for very long. I mean, sure, the guy's a worshiper. He's out there giving his testimony. And I'll tell you something. If you want to strengthen yourself in the Lord, you tell other people what Jesus has done for you. You tell God's stories. You tell your story. You just go out. Ladies, you get out there and you fellowship with one another and God meets with you. I know Rachel has a testimony of chains of bondage just coming off her. Some good things were happening. The devil's mad. We're glad because, you know, we're taking the stronghold. But as you know, it's not just about taking down the stronghold and getting back what the devil took from us. Did you know that? It's more than that. It's becoming a stronghold ourselves that becomes a point that releases blessing to the region that God's called us to be. See, it's not just getting back for what I got taken from me, but it's giving back. And that's what this guy did. He went and he gave back. And you know what? He did pretty darn good. Because we read of an account of his work in Mark chapter 7. And let's see. Of course, I didn't put the full address there. Well, let's just... Yes, thank you. Bless your heart. In verse 31, and again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, which is way on the other side of Galilee, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. That's the city of, that's 10 cities. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and he had an impediment in his speech, and he besought him, put his hand upon him, took him aside, and he was healed, and he charged them not to say anything. But everybody is established. And then verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great. The point of it all is that Jesus went to the area of Gadara, and they told him to leave. He left one person to give a testimony. And in the space of a few months, the whole city comes out to hear what this man has done. And the reason why he was so successful was not only because he personally encountered the delivering power of God for himself, but because the stronghold that was binding that area was removed so that he could work freely without a demonic resistance. And believe me, his fame was all over the region. They all knew who this crazy guy was. And just the fact that he walked down, I'm sure they said, oh, who are you? I'm the one. And Jesus comes back, and this is where he feeds the 4,000. And we know there were a lot more people than that. And I just want to let you know that because of the testimony of one person who had been delivered from so much, loved so much in return, that he emptied an entire city, an entire region of the power of darkness and literally brought them to the feet of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that incredible? And, you know, I just want to encourage you, in the power of worship, in our time before the Lord, of strengthening ourselves, because so much of what the enemy wants to do is to take away from you such a great destiny and purpose that you have. If one person could do this, how much could we do as a church with all the combined power? You know, the enemy comes to just steal and destroy and take and minimize. And yet, you know, the Lord comes to set us free. And then what do we do with it? Do we hold it within or do we let it out? Do we tell people? And, you know, it's every time I get an opportunity, I share my testimony. And I've got it down. I can share it in 20 seconds, all right? Or I can take 3 minutes or more. But the point of it all is nobody can deny a testimony. And you have a testimony. And the thing about it is there are people out there that just don't know that Jesus is real, that he's the real deal. And you can go out there and make a difference and get them curious about the things that God is doing in your life and wanting to have that happen to them. I just met with a man today. He said, you know, I've never encountered the Lord. I said, would you like to? He said, yeah. And, you know, there's just a real hunger in this guy to just, you know, get all that God has. And, you know, it's just one beggar showing another beggar how to find bread. But, you know, it starts by us getting the encouragement, the strength that we need to go out and keep doing this from the Lord in our personal time with him. You know, God called us first to be with him and then to go and make disciples. And so we're going to believe on a regional scale that we're going to move into a dimension where we see literally a canopy of grace over this region because of a blanket of prayer and worship that goes on continuously. You know, every time that the Lord calls you into a season of worship, you know, it could be just a mind thing where you feel like, well, nothing's happening. Well, so much is going on that you just couldn't possibly imagine. And times where we just wait on the Lord and soak in his presence, some of the most valuable and eternal time that is spent. And the fact is, we are in a place where God is growing us in our anointing so that one day we will go and be able to take nations. I don't know if any of you have had an opportunity to cast out devils from people, but it's something you need to know how to do. Because there's going to be a day when you will be called to go with the missions team, maybe just to another area, another church, whatever, and somebody's going to manifest. And what are you going to do? You know, you're tired. You're worn out. You're just at the end of yourself. You've just lost all your money. You've lost all your sleep. You know, you're at the end of yourself. I remember when I was in Trinidad, they had us minister at 7 churches. We started at 7 in the morning. We finished 1 o'clock that night. And there were prayer lines of hundreds of people who all wanted us to prophesy what they had for breakfast 2 years ago. And, I mean, it was just, you know, one of those, and you know, things would just happen. It was amazing, the things that, because their faith would pull from you. But every time, virtue would flow out of you, and pretty soon, you know, there was just nothing left. You're exhausted. The next morning, they had us going out on visitation. And lo and behold, we were up against demon-possessed people who are manifesting. And they look at us, what do we do? And, you know, fortunately, we knew what to do. And we cast out the devils. But the point of it all is, this is the normal life of a believer. Now, you might not necessarily get involved in a personal encounter, but when you worship the Lord, when you connect with God, you're casting out devils. You're pushing back the powers of darkness. You're moving into that realm where, you know, the Lord said, these signs shall follow those who believe. And so I want to encourage you also that when you share a testimony, you're pushing back darkness. You're pushing back the work of the enemy. And, you know, this Ladies Advance in particular had a great amount of warfare surrounding it, more than the last time. It doesn't diminish it in any way. Perhaps maybe you girls are taking more ground and the enemy's threatened. But the thing is, when you share the good things God has done, you encourage one another and you set back what the enemy's trying to do. Now, I appreciate all the emails that are going around. They're all encouragement. You know, they're all saying, yeah, we're under some attack and we've had some resistance, but God, you know, look what he did, look what he's doing, and that sort of a thing. And I want to encourage you gals that, you know, you share the good things that the Lord has done. And, you know, if anybody, Rachel, has a testimony, perhaps maybe you could feel to come on up right about now and share that. Let's hear it from Rachel.
I don't want to put you on the spot. Or
are you sure about that? Oh, I thought we were going to get away from this, but I guess not. All right. Yeah, I'm kind of caught off guard. Well, first of all, it was just such a great weekend, mostly because I was just so much needing just to get out with friends, and I was just reminded again how the body of Christ is just such a safe place, and I just appreciate you know, so often, sometimes you just feel so alone and you think you're all by yourself. And Friday night was just such a refresher again to come out and just hang out with friends. And my eyes were just open again how the body of Christ, like Pastor Ruth Friday night, just set such a peaceful aroma. I mean, just such a safe place to come and just to hang out and be who you are. And it was just such a wonderful time. And when she was talking on Friday night, I was just sitting there and listening, and just all of a sudden what she was saying was just, the shackles were just falling off my arms, and I'd never felt anything like it. But there was just so much freedom. There's just so much freedom.
Try to keep it short, but there was a lot. First of all, I received the gift of tears I haven't had in 21 years. Snotty nose and all. And anybody that knows me knows that that's not normal.
Now, this is really serious, because she shared with us a number of different times she has not been able to cry for years.
And what was it that set it free? I believe it says each of you shared your weaknesses with me. Each of you shared that you felt like crap, but you went up there and you said, my life is in your hands. The first time Pastor Bob prayed over me, he said, the Lord wants you to know you're a human being, not a human doing. My whole life and how I relate to everyone has been based on performance, on how I felt that I was to look, how I wanted Ralph to look, how I wanted my children to look. And I want to say, especially to you kids and you single ones, get this. God made you the way you are. And that's good. That's very good. And this song, I Surrender All, I believe is an accepting who you are, who God made you. And there's a liberty in, it's okay that I don't have a spotless house. There's a liberty in not being so self-disciplined that I can't come up here and say something that may sound foolish to everybody else, but I know I made a connection with God. And, you know, and each one of us shared about how we envied the other's gifts and how, you know, it just didn't make sense to me because their gift to me was so much more special than my gift. But accepting who I am and knowing that the words that the Lord is speaking to me and that I'm sharing is as beautiful as the songs that Kim sings or the instant song that the Lord gives Kathy or the hug that Yvonne gives to strangers that come in that no one else notices. It's okay to say, I'm lonely. It's okay to say, I want to be married and have children. It's okay to say, I'm struggling. And it's okay to say, I'm afraid that I'm losing ground. But I feel like the Lord was saying, you're gaining ground, and this is a meet moment. And I don't want you to settle for anything less than what I have for you. And first of all, it has to start with accepting who we are. And that we're beautiful in His sight, and that no matter how we look or what we wear, or we wear makeup or we don't wear makeup, we cut our hair, we don't cut our hair, we're beautiful in His sight, and that the greatest gift of all is love, and that if we conduct all of our relationships through that love that He pours in us and out, we're going to accomplish something.
I was actually excited to get up and talk. My feet were moving over there constantly, which is, that's a God thing. For those who know me, that's definitely God. I just came on Friday night, and I was just so blessed. I don't really have a lot of words for it other than I fasted all week because the Lord put on my heart, and He met me. Where I need to be met, which is I had some fun with sisters, and I just laughed. And then when we were all in here, can't remember exactly what was going on. I don't know if it was a song. I think it might have been a song that the Lord was, anyways, ministered to me about that He delights in me. And He showed me a vision of a little girl dancing in the flowers, and everything was all white, and that little girl was me. And that really ministers to me because it's been a long, long time that the Lord's been healing my heart and my life from the things that have happened to me as a child and also as an adult with men, but in particular with my earthly father. So that just blessed me.
It wasn't until late last night that I just realized how the Lord had ministered to me. One thing that was really neat, sometimes we feel we're all alone in the things that go through our head. And someone was talking about their personality and realizing that God made them that way. You know, everyone likes a sanguine, they said. And I always think, nobody likes a sanguine. And just realizing that God made us each the way we are and that's an okay thing. And the Lord really convicted me last night. And it felt like He wanted me to repent to my sisters. And I was like, well, how am I going to repent to all of them? And the Lord gave an opportunity. I had kind of come to the ladies thing thinking, everybody judges me, nobody in the church likes me, and I don't want to be there. And I just felt like the Lord showed me that's a lie, and that by believing that lie, I was judging my sisters as being judgmental. And the Lord just showed me you're not, and that this is a safe place, and that you guys love me, and that was just really healing for me, and I didn't realize till I got home. So
I have to add to that because I really didn't want to come weekends either. I had been struggling with some things for a couple of weeks, but you know, Jesus didn't come to condemn us, and these ladies aren't here to condemn us either. They love us for who we are, not for things that we've done or thought, and I just appreciate that because I laid some things on them over the weekend and they just, instead of making me feel awful, made me feel beautiful. And I just thank each one for that.
Debbie sang a song that the Lord gave her, and the one line in it was about how God was saying, I'm smiling over you. And the Lord has different moments ever since she sang that, just been bringing that to my mind, that he's smiling over me. And I don't really remember my dad, my earthly father, smiling hardly at all as we were growing up. And so I think that's why it really just touched my heart. It was like, God, my heavenly father is smiling over me. It's just really been continually ministering to me.
Hey, Deb.
I didn't want to come either. Actually, I was feeling like I just want to go hide in my hole, and I was dealing with a lot of performance issues. And I don't realize how much that touches every area of my life, like with my kids. I was to the point where I wasn't even enjoying them at all. And I mean, I literally on the way over wanted to stop the car so their heads would jerk, and I would turn around and go, who wants to be spanked first? And I was just so ready to be done. And I had just had all these feelings, like, and I think that I would put my performance and my expectations of how I thought things should be, or if this would only happen, then this would be better. And I thought that people expected of me, like, because I had these expectations in my brain, I just assumed that people expected it of me, too, so it made me angry at people when they weren't even expecting it. I didn't even know how to confess my sin, and I was so bottled up the whole time until, like, the very last minute. We were praying, and I'm just like, we were praying about something totally different, and I'm weeping, and which usually happens. But it's just so freeing being able to confess your sin and not worry that anybody will be angry with you or judge you or hold it against you. And it was just so freeing to get it out. And I was laughing with our kids like all day yesterday, things that would have been like driving me nuts before. I was like, that's so funny, you know. So I couldn't stop laughing most of the afternoon. It was so good. And that song that we sang today about, it's all about you, Jesus, and all this is for you. I'm like, I kept singing that all week, and I was turmoiling all of this performance stuff. And I'm like, okay, this life, everything we go through, every part of us is all for you. And even when it feels crummy, I mean, God is delighting. My bonehead said something. There's a song on the radio right now by Stephen Curtis Chapman about dancing with Cinderella, how his little girl comes to him and says, Daddy, I have to practice for this. And can you dance with me, Daddy? I have to practice my dancing. And so he says, so I danced with Cinderella. And he didn't want to miss one minute of it. And that just really ministered to me because, well, first of all, the song is on a lot, and I'm thinking, oh, could the song just be over? But now I'm listening to it different. I'm like, God enjoys every moment, every minute of what life is with us, and he is enjoying this dance. And I don't want to, I've said so much to Chris, I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, man, I wish I would have had more joy through this, or more, like, I don't want to regret. I want to start enjoying now. And I just felt so free. So freed to Yeah. Anyway, I just almost wanted to get up and dance, but I was playing piano at the same time, so I'm not Jerry Lee Lewis. Thank you, Jesus. But anyway.
Another thing I forgot to share was many people shared about struggles they were having, and I just like to submit to you that I think we may give the enemy more credit than we want to, that when we struggle with things, that it's the Lord drawing us closer to Him to not settle for 75%, but to go for the whole thing, and that as we struggle and we submit it to Him, that you know, we're maturing in Him, and we're going to have something to offer someone else. And this is my dear friend Diana, and she must have something to share, and she really helped break the dam for me when she shared her testimony.
Well, she mentioned a number, 75, what'd you say?
75.
So that's math, so I know it's some time for me to share. I'm not a math person, and I've never played chess before. However, right before Pastor shared today, God was showing me that God brings difficult problems, situations, as we increase in our maturity. So it helped me to really clarify my brain that we, over at New Covenant Academy, we have this old math teacher who taught in the college, and he's just like kind of crabby, but all the students there know that he knows the answers to the problems. So as they're in their class and he brings the next level of problems in the math class, you know, he's with them and they need to try to work through it themselves. But basically, he does know the ultimate answer, just like God knows our ultimate answer for our difficulties. So if all of us sitting here have some issue with, like Kim was saying, this isn't done right and that's not done right, and I would do it this way, and why can't they just see that this is the best way, and you know? Not that I would ever feel that way, of course, but God is laughing as Mr. Enderley laughs at the front of the class because he knows the answer. And he wants us to do calculus. And he wants us to do, you know what I'm saying? He wants us to have, if it's a chess game, that really difficult situation where you're like, oh, I know exactly what to do when I'm offended at the situation. God doesn't think like we think, oh, poor me, I don't even know what to do. Let's go hide in the hole and get away from everyone because I'm sick of trying to figure it out myself. So I just thought that was really neat. My brain like literally felt really light and clear right before he started preaching that God is laughing about it because he actually knows exactly what's going on spiritually and personally and in the natural things in our lives, financially and personality-wise, the whole personality thing exactly. He knows exactly all these people and how we're all called here. If you're not called here, you would not be dragging your rear end here every week. I mean, seriously, honestly, who gets out of bed in the morning and drags himself here if they don't know they're called here? Honestly. So if you're here, then God has a specific plan for you, and you're not to just be so introspective and feeling sorry for yourself that you don't ask Him what the answer to the problem is.
Anybody else?
That is not really a testimony. I just want to say, because I know there's plans to do this again at some point in the future, and I really want to encourage, and I know Sarah really wants to also, the young women of the house. This is not just for those of us who are over 30. Wait, some of them aren't over 30. Okay, this is not for those of us who are over 24. This is for all of you, and I really believe that if you young ladies come, that you're going to be blessed, and I believe God wants to knit your hearts with our hearts and our hearts with your hearts, because we each have something to offer each generation. So I just really want to encourage you guys to really consider coming out next time.
Praise God. I'm going to close with some declarations that my daughter, Debbie, came up with, and She's got a whole bunch of pages here. I'm only going to read one. But I just want to send you away with a blessing. And I want to encourage you people that if you decree something, it will be established. If you don't decree it, it won't happen. We've got to be listening to what's coming through our minds, and we need to discern whether it's God or not. How did that guy get open to 6,000 demons? How did that all start? Well, it starts by getting into critical thought and critical thinking and just letting one build onto the other, and then you get into the Elijah syndrome where, you know, poor me, let's just stay home and not go to that conference. Okay. My times in the secret place carry more weight and influence on me than I could ever imagine. Every moment that I spend in His Word changes me on the inside. God's Word will not return void. I will grow and abound in love as I continually sit at His feet. His love is changing me as I look into His eyes. As I gaze at His beauty, He changes me from the inside out. I am known in heaven, and hell fears me. Jesus loves me, and I'm His favorite. My voice is powerful. As I pray, heaven hears and responds as I move in faith. The angels are activated as I declare God's word. As I believe for the impossible happens. Each testimony that I declare and share creates an atmosphere that multiplies that testimony. And might I share that a testimony draws testimony? Victory is mine. I am expecting miracles. I believe all things are possible for God and me. I believe that nothing will happen to me today that God and I can't handle together. I walk by faith and not by sight. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, be blessed. Amen. God bless you.